Welcome to The Point on WCAI. I'm Sean Corcoran, and it's our weekly news roundup when we discuss some of the top news stories of the week with my colleagues in the print and digital media. Joining me from the Cape Cod Times newsroom is Patrick Cassidy. He's a reporter at the Times and Cape Cod Online. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks for being here. Your inaugural show with The Point News Roundup, and we appreciate it. Joining us a little later will be Brian Morris. He's WCAI's South Coast reporter. Tim Wood, the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle. Sally Rose will call in from the Provincetown Journal. And we'll hear from Nelson Siegelman, managing editor of the Martha's Vineyard Times. Patrick, let's start with the storm stuff. We had snow on Monday. We had more snow on Wednesday, leading to school closings. How did the region fare this week?
Yeah, what else? The polar vortex, I have to admit, is starting to get to even me, and I love the winter. we had a couple of days of snow this week. There were delays to school openings. Schools were closed. The roads were icy. There was some mixed freezing rain in there, just to make it even more interesting on Wednesday. We had a lot of fallout from that. One thing that happened was a cleanup of an oil spill out on Route 6 from an accident that happened last week on Friday was delayed. That cleanup was supposed to happen, you know, throughout this week. On Wednesday, the State Department of Transportation and the State Department of Environmental Protection decided to call off the cleanup, which included excavating soil from the area because of the weather. And there were about 2,500 to 3,500 gallons of home heating oil that spilled out of a tanker that rolled onto its side in the median of Route 6 between exits 6 and 7, again last Friday, a week ago today. And that cleanup is ongoing. So it was delayed by the storm. We had a lot of other things delayed this week. Hopefully we're getting clear of it a little bit, although there's supposed to be some more weather on Sunday from what I hear.
I understand that the only real spot of potentially good news from that tanker crash is that it didn't make it into any waterways. Is that correct?
At this point, we don't know in reality. The State Department of Environmental Protection says that they're testing the soil in the area. There were wells that were taken offline, municipal drinking wells in Yarmouth and Barnstable that were closest to the spill. They were taken offline as a precaution, according to state and local officials. Tests will determine what the extent of the contamination is, and we are expecting to hear more information about those tests shortly. We're also still unclear as to what exactly caused that accident. It's under investigation. And in reality, who will end up being responsible for the cleanup? The state says the trucking company will be responsible for the cleanup. But you can imagine that some insurance companies are going to get involved here. And certainly if it wasn't the truck driver's fault, then they'll have something to say about that. But as of right now, there doesn't seem to be any indication that it's into any drinking water or surface water. And it'll depend on, you know, how fast they're able to do the cleanup as to whether they'll know whether it made it into the groundwater and therefore into our drinking water.
Sure. One of the lighthearted stories that came out of the storm was about three little pigs in Yarmouth Port. What happened there?
Yeah, this happened Tuesday evening, you know, right before the most recent storm was moving in. And they were pigs that were owned by the folks at Miss Scarlett's Blue Ribbon Farm on Route 6A in Yarmouth Port. And this is an interesting aspect of the weather as well, because these pigs were confined to an area that was surrounded by solar-powered electric fencing. But recently, we haven't had all that much sunlight. Today is somewhat of an exception. And the batteries apparently didn't power up on the fencing. The pigs figured that out and were able to get out of their fence and make it onto the roadway. There were three Yarmouth police officers who responded to the call Tuesday. One, fortunately, was from the western part of the state and had some farm experience, so he figured out how to round up the pigs, and they were back in their pen later on that night, I believe.
Loose livestock always makes the news. Let's move on to a hearing last night regarding land-based wind turbines. Cape Cod is really the epicenter of this land-based wind turbine debate largely because of concerns about some turbines here in Falmouth that some folks say are making them sick. They're town-owned land turbines. And so last night the state came. Why was the state here? What are they up to, and what did they hear?
Yeah, you and I have both been to plenty of these hearings.
Yeah.
It seems like they go on and on. There was the Cape Wind hearings. There were hearings for the Cape Cod Commission for some regulations for land-based wind turbines. That didn't happen on their part. The state has tried to establish regulations over time for land-based turbines. This is the latest iteration of that. It's the State Department of Public Utilities who have had, at this point, five of these hearings around the state to establish what they say are guidelines that would be voluntary for local towns to adopt, that would, you know, say where you could locate these land-based wind turbines, which, again, have caused so much controversy in some areas like Falmouth, like Fairhaven, and other parts of the state.
Mm-hmm.
The critics of wind turbines say they don't believe that these would only be recommendations and would be entirely voluntary. They believe that these would eventually be made into rules that towns would have to follow. Obviously, Governor Deval Patrick has set a goal of 2,000 megawatts of wind energy in Massachusetts by 2020, so his administration is looking to put more turbines on land and out at sea. Folks who showed up for this meeting fell typically into the two camps that we've heard from before, those who argue that there is no practical way to site wind turbines in Massachusetts. We just have too dense a population, and you're going to be putting them in neighborhoods where they're going to be causing these problems that folks in Falmouth and places like Fairhaven have reported. Others countered that the urgency of combating climate change makes wind energy an essential part of the state's energy mix. They're saying we need to do this, and we need to do it in more locations, and we need to make it easier for wind energy developers to site their turbines. One of the more interesting things that happened during last night's hearing, which ran for 4 hours, and there were about 40 people who kind of came and went during the hearing at the Cape Cod Community College, was that Neil Anderson, who's well known to anybody who's been following the issue in Falmouth, he's a neighbor out there who's had a lot of problems with the turbines there,
mm-hmm.
He brought forward what he said was a speaker. He said he wanted to play infrasound, which is this inaudible sound that people are saying is causing them so many problems. And the DPU hearing officer, after a quick consultation, said, you know, and after Neil Anderson said that it was going to cause people to get sick, said, we don't think that's a good idea. The liability, somebody gets sick, they crash their car after they leave this. We don't like that idea. Anderson said, thank you. I don't have any recording. It was a trick of sorts, but he said merely the fact that you were worried about getting sick from what we say we've been suffering from is enough to make my point. So there were some interesting moments at this hearing.
Interesting tactic. And so what's the end game here? When do we expect to hear from the DPU again? They're going around with hearings around the state?
Sure. This was the last of five, and again, there were hearings in other parts of the state. The comment period for these guidelines ends February 20th. From there, the DPU says they'll take those comments and they'll basically go back and use them to develop these siting guidelines. It's not exactly clear when they'll issue these guidelines. Again, they've been working on similar things in the past, and some of those efforts have fizzled. That might happen again.
Right. I want to bring Brian Morris into the conversation now. Brian is the South Coast reporter for WCAI. Brian, I want to talk about this issue with new flood maps. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, last year issued new flood maps, and what that means is if you're now in a flood zone, it looks like your flood insurance rates could go sky high. So we've covered that. You've done a series about it last week. It's on our website. This week we hear from the Plymouth County that they're actually getting a year-long delay in implementing the flood maps there. Why Plymouth? Why not the Cape and Islands and the South Coast?
Well, there were three towns in Plymouth County, Marshfield, Scituate, and Duxbury, that have filed these town-wide appeals. And as you know, these new flood maps, they need to be approved by each town at their various town meetings, many of which happen in the spring, early summer. So FEMA, they're saying that they didn't feel there was enough time before these maps are scheduled to be implemented to adequately review these big town-wide appeals. And that's but many people are saying, you know, that's unfair because the ratepayers in Plymouth County you know, they're going to get this reprieve of their rate increases kind of by default while FEMA sorts out these larger townwide appeals. So that's kind of what's going on there.
So none of the Cape towns actually went forward with a process to do their own townwide appeals?
No.
I wonder if they even know that was a possibility for them.
I believe they did, but it's a very, very expensive proposition. You have to bring in engineers of all sorts, and the requirements for filing these appeals are really quite extensive. Congressman Bill Keating has said that he'll ask FEMA to extend this one-year delay to all the affected counties in Massachusetts. So that we won't know until they respond to him whether that's going to be possible or not. But that's the reason these large appeals, all the individual homeowner appeals, and there were only a few on Cape Cod, and three were approved, but that's all wrapped up and finished. So
addition to those appeals you mentioned from Cape Cod, there were also a few dozen, I believe, what were considered comments because they didn't have any engineering work done.
Right, and also it could be someone pointing out that a road was named incorrectly on a map. FEMA would say, okay, we accept that as an officially accepted comment and we'll change the name of the road. So it was the more minor issues that people brought up that were considered comments, and the comments were either accepted in the case of, say, a misnamed road, or rejected if someone just wrote in to say, I don't like these increases.
Sure.
But the appeals were actually the appeals that were accompanied by this extensive and expensive documentation, elevation certificates and other kinds of property surveys. And there were only three that were accepted on Cape Cod.
Yeah, as you said, it's very expensive to hire an engineering firm. So
obviously
this is a federal issue. State officials don't have much authority here to influence this debate. But there is a potential legislative fix in Congress right now. It went through the Senate, right?
That's right. It was passed overwhelmingly last week by the Senate to delay the implementation of the flood maps for 4 years. But it's moving on to the House, and so far House Speaker Boehner does not support it, as I understand, and the White House hasn't really expressed much support well. So it doesn't look very likely that it's just going to be enacted for the four-year delay.
Patrick, you cover the Cape Cod Commission. You cover Barnstable County. Did you hear during this whole debate any effort by the county or individual communities to really help homeowners tackle this issue?
Not by the county. I'm sure they were involved in some of the technical aspects of looking at flood-prone areas. The Cape Cod Commission is involved in planning and for flooding as well. There were individual towns, as Brian said, there were individuals in towns who had made their appeals. As you said, they didn't follow FEMA requirements, so those appeals were classified as comments. I think it's interesting that Congressman Keating said that what he really had to get across to the rest of his colleagues down there in D.C. is the magnitude of the increase to some folks' flood insurance. In some cases, it becoming so costly that it would be equivalent to basically the price of their home over time. So there was obviously a lot of push by the state delegation and by federal lawmakers from this area lobbying for delays, and Congressman Keating had that scientific study that showed that the maps for towns along the Atlantic coastline of New England had been developed using Pacific Coast data, which raised questions. FEMA says, you know what, we figured out after much study that the California guidelines, the guidelines from out there, were applicable to this area and to the Gulf Coast, so they're standing by how they did that work.
Mm-hmm.
Locally there was a lot of technical help perhaps for folks, but nothing concerted on the Cape.
Okay.
And the other point I wanted to make also is that when Congressman Bill Keating was, bringing this whole thing up, he made the point that, when the Biggert Waters Act, which is the act that basically has directed FEMA to take care of this $24 billion deficit, Keating's point was that, that's all well and good, but they failed to address the affordability piece of that, which they were supposed to do by law. And
well, so many
these outsized increases, tenfold in some cases.
Wow. I mean, so many people think that the Cape and Islands is just an area occupied by rich people.
That's right.
And some of these these homes that are now in these flood maps are not right up against the water. They're not, they could be streets away from the water.
Sure.
And if rates are going to be tripling, quadrupling, whatever it happens to be, you're going to drive people right out of
them. Well, and a lot of these folks are working class, also retired people on fixed incomes. There's no way if they get socked with some 4- or 5-fold increase that you know they're going to be able to.
As Congressman Keating says, it seems to be an issue of fairness. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to speak with Tim Wood, the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle.